Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, 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 and welcome to the 83rd episode of the Puckle TCG Cast with your new host, Basket. Yes, I'm back, although I'm not sure if I'm still new. I had a bad sore throat last month, not COVID, so no need to worry there. We've got a different kind of episode for you guys today. We are going to talk format, the death of the gods, and the core player survey. But Basket, you might say, we've only heard your voice. You're kind of funny, but it's the co-hosts who really make the show, to which I say, ouch. Point taken. And reveal, the nefarious nutmeg ninja, Seth Vilo!
Which is funny, because I've been using a lot of nutmeg in my cooking recently, so well done.
Good, good. And next, the Sassmaster himself and professional shadecaster, Sublime Manic.
Hello. You know, if you wanted funny co-hosts, I think you have the best two options, to be honest. Like, not
so
shady
modest
to anyone
too.
Else. But I think you did good if you wanted good, like, entertain. Yeah. It's a good time.
Good,
and
good.
No insults were implied. No. Everyone else is great. I love all the co-hosts. But I'm just saying, we're a good package. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, yes. Nice package with a little bow right after Christmas. All right, so how have you guys been doing lately, Sublime?
No comment.
No comment? Okay, we can let... You know what? Given what's been going on, we can leave it at that. Seth!
I've been doing good. I finally got some things installed in my stupid house today that I've been just kind of staring at. One of them was like a toilet paper roll holder that I've been...
That's a big quality of life improvement as a homeowner, okay? You know what? I bought myself for Christmas because it was on the Christmas list I gave people and no one bought it, so I bought it myself. I bought some coasters, and I love what they did for the living room.
Nice. Man, we're old.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite fork, Sublime? Are you that? Are you
oh
that
my
old?
God. I have a metal spork. It's like a proper, like, yeah, I love my metal spork. It's like, just a fancy spoon, but with like, yeah. I use it when I'm eating ramen, when I'm eating mac and cheese, anything noodle related. I love my spork.
You guys remember VHS tapes? I remember those.
You know what? No comment. I might still have some. I don't have a VHS player, but I still have a couple of VHS tapes.
That's funny. Like those VHSs that you just can't...
It's like, I don't want to get rid of it. I don't want to get rid of it.
I still have, like, all, like, this... You know how the VHSs, like, they would, like, put, you know, like, a trilogy or something into one giant, fat VHS box? I still have the Godfather version of that. And it just sits there because I also do not have a VHS player anymore.
I might have finally tossed them when I moved, but I might have them. I'd have to check.
Oh my gosh. Now that we've effectively derailed this podcast.
You see how much fun we're having?
All right. Okay. Back on track. All right. I want you all to close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Feel the sun on your skin. The sand between your toes. and let the cool summer breeze ruffle those luscious locks as we visit Topical Beach.
Grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
All right. To begin, we'll discuss the rise of atheism in the Pokemon TCG, as many have just found out that their beloved Pokegods have been destroyed. Limitless, in their infinite wisdom, have found an issue with the current standard format and have dealt with it by brutally and mercilessly sacrificing ADP on the altar of card bans. Seth, did this need to happen? And do you agree with what was banned?
First of all, I do want to point out that this is only Limitless stuff. It's not an official ban, so don't worry, ADP players. You can still use them in official tournaments whenever we get those going again.
Right, yeah, sure. If they don't change it. Which,
I just don't want people to get too happy.
I'm happy now. I'm happy now, Seth. rain on my parade!
I think it's a good thing to try out, especially if it's not going to have formal action taken by TPCI in official formats. This has been happening in a lot of local things where they bop ADP for their tournament, and it really has a really interesting change on the diversity of the meta. There's not four decks that everyone's focused around. You can play a lot more fun tech cards, things like that, because you aren't artificially lowering the total turns of the game to, like, four. So I like it. I think it's a great thing to experiment with, and I'm interested to see how the tournaments progress with this card restriction.
You know, the amount of turns in a game, yeah, definitely. But it's also kind of like, depending on the decks that you and your opponent are playing and whether you're the ADP player or not, I mean, you kind of know essentially what's going to happen after the first two, like, rounds. Like, did they alter creation?
I've played a lot of games where they go second, so they can attack. They get off the altered creation turn one.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just bop two Dedenne for game the two following turns. Because they typically play four bosses' orders, a lot of energy switch, and they don't need to power up a Zacian. They have Dialga ADP up, and it does 180 after altered creation, which is two Dedenne, or a Crobat or two. That's how they just end the game. Like, it's silly, in my opinion.
Yeah, and to be on the back foot after, you know, like if you're going first, to be on the back foot after you just played your first turn
with no support,
so upsetting. Yeah, you don't have a supporter to help you out. You're just like, okay, well, I guess I'm going first. All right, I've done my best with what I can do. All right, your turn. And then it's just like, oh no.
The amount of literally checkmate in three turns games that I've seen or played. Ugh. So, needless to say, I'm very excited to see how this goes. Because I want to play the game. I want to actually have it last more than five turns, please.
Especially
thank
with
you
how
much.
Long it takes to shuffle. If you would think about, like, in a real world, like, if you're playing in person, imagine how long it takes to shuffle your deck and set everything up for it to be done in three turns.
For sure.
Nope.
You might be done in 15 minutes for all three rounds. Jeez.
I feel like if I spent more time shuffling than I did actually playing, I'd be upset.
Exactly.
With that, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. The setup is like double the time it takes to lose.
Honestly, yes.
And that's just not a good investment.
If you do the seven riffle shuffles that it takes to properly randomize your deck based on a study that was done in 1992 for Magic players.
How many?
Seven riffle shuffles.
Okay.
Optimal randomization. If you do that, that takes longer than a game against ADP checkmate three turns.
Hello, there you go.
Yeah, like for real. Especially now that things like N, Cynthia aren't in there, so you're not shuffling your deck on your turn as much. So, yeah, there's still Quick Ball and all that kind of nonsense, but I mean, it can take longer than a three-turn game.
Yeah, it's definitely made, like, card sleeve fashion more important, you know, so you can look good while you're shuffling your deck.
Yeah.
Because that's all you're going to be able to play. It's going to be the majority of your game. All right. Sublime, what do you think that TCPI can learn from this to do better in the future when they're balancing game mechanics?
Whenever you're going to have something that, like, changes the rules of the game, I think that needs to be something you're very careful about. And they probably thought they had balanced it because you can only do an attack like that once per game. and it's rotating out, that mechanic. But, like, it still fundamentally alters, like, the rules of the game. And that's not a good... You play with fire, you gotta handle with kitty tape, extra caution, all of the barriers. You need to be careful when you do something that, like, is affecting, like, the core rules, you know? Whenever you have something that cheats the rules, you gotta be suspicious of it, because I think of the only other card I can remember that I was, like, that was, like, controversial and ended up getting banned eventually and expanded was Forest of Giant Plants. You remember? And it broke the rules. And it in a way that is just not fun. The rules are there for both players to do so that, you know, and then when you have one that is, like, altering their rules, but it's just not cute. It's not cute. So don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, the rules are there, like, the core rules are there for balance.
Yeah, and you know? It gatekeeps in a lot of ways, you know, because when you're making a deck, you're like, oh, but can I live if I fight against an 8, you know? It's like, I think of a lot of things that happen in, like, Smogon type of situations. A lot of the bans aren't because something is oppressively strong, it's because it reduces the number of things that get played, you know?
R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Urshifu. Dab.
Yeah. Right, like, it's about being mindful of, like, the number of things that, like, does it reduce diversity of, like, things that are being played, right? So, I think if TC, if a tournament wants to reduce it and they're seeing a greater diversity of decks, people are probably having more fun. And if you're trying to make your card game fun, then maybe you should think about banning things even if they haven't rotated out yet.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, my favorite thing that happens to me when I'm playing a game against someone is when I do something that's unique in my deck and they're like, oh, wow, that's really cool, blah, 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 blah. And then you can like talk about it after the game's over. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's so much fun. Like, there's so many times where I'll see something different in another deck and I'll be like, oh my gosh, like, what made you do that? What was the reason for you adding this into your deck? You know, like, how consistently can you pull this off? Because it worked great there, but are you thinking of pulling it out because it doesn't work all the time? Blah, 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 blah. You know, like, it takes away from, like, when it becomes too standard because something's oppressive, it takes a lot of that away.
Yeah. For me, I just wish they would have had a little bit more foresight, personally. And Altered Creation should not have been an attack that's possible to do turn one. This should have been Dialga GX requires 5 energy levels of difficult to get off.
They could double the energy, and it would still be an extremely strong effect for the cost.
And at the same time, they're like, oh, it's a water metal. No one plays those two combos. And then later they just have Zacian exist. And then they have Energy Spinner exist, so it solves the problem of finding the correct energy. Or Viridian Forest, if you play that method. And then Metal Saucer to make it so that you can just discard them and then get them back that way. Like, every set, there's something that refines ADP a little bit more and makes it even better. Like, there's a tool card coming out in the next set that just makes Zacian do 30 more damage. The Rusted Sword.
Yeah.
Every single set has something that makes it a little better. And, yeah, that's what I have a problem with. It's kind of like how Super Scoop Up Net works with Shamans, where it's just a lack of foresight, where they tried by saying it doesn't work on GX and V Pokemon, but they forgot about EXs or some rule to fix that, or no errata or something like that. I just wish it was a little bit more foresight. And without that on the card, just bopping it, honestly. That's my thought.
Yeah, and, like, It's kind of funny to me because, like Sublime was saying earlier, you know, it's like, maybe they didn't think it was that big of a deal because you can only use the move once. But if it's a move that you use once that then affects the entirety of the rest of the game, it's a moot point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you can only do it once. Well, but I can use it for the rest of the game. So, like, you know, how is that curtailing the absurdity of what this can do?
They thought, oh, well, it's balanced because you can only do a GX attack once. I'm like, yeah, but it's a GX attack, exactly like you said, that affects the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What other GX's attacks do that?
I'm sure there's something.
There might be a couple, but like, yeah.
I would have liked a reprint of Pokemon Ranger, like the set after this came out. That would solve the problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, yes, that would have been great.
That's a one of in every one of my expanded decks, which keeps ADP in check.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw that card, I was like, this is going in my Vespiquen deck.
Yeah. Yeah, and that entirely deletes the effect of the GX attack. Like, I would have loved a reprint of that just, like, the set after it came out when they started realizing ADP was a problem. But here we are without that, so.
So, I have one more quick question before we move on to the next part of the topic. How much oversight do you think that they have on the game? Or do you guys know any information on, like, how playtesting is done or anything like that? That might be something interesting to look into at some point. Because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot going on.
I would disagree. I think there is an immense amount of playtesting and speculation. And they probably have drafts and things like that. This is all speculation. I don't know anybody or, you know, my grandpa doesn't work for Nintendo or something like that.
Right.
But I really do think there is an absolutely immense amount of it. But among the minute pieces, I think it kind of gets lost. Like, there's a lot of synergy with the smaller cards.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't affect the big tournament level cards, it's not as important. Like, you can go to what are those called? A pre-release thing back in the day when we could go to physical events. And
Back in my day,
back to us being old.
With our VHS tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd go to pre-releases in person.
Yeah. When you're playing through those, though, and playing with the small cards you would otherwise never consider, there is an extreme amount of synergy between those tiny cards that you just don't see in a tournament level. So I think overall there's a whole lot of playtesting to make each card have some merit or value in some way and not make everything worthless, but it ends up making the big things just big and bad.
I also think, relative to, like, previous years, like, they are paying more attention to what the actual, like, top-level meta is a lot more and what that is played like. And they're trying more than they used to, which is appreciated.
Look at all the expanded bans, for instance. They didn't have many.
Right, like, the fact that they banned Shaymin, like, they didn't need to. They don't need to, you know? Like,
yeah.
But they're trying to improve the format.
They even had official standard bans. Like, that's unheard of. Like, what was it? Miss Magius, I think?
Yeah, I remember when that... Yeah, that was a sad day.
In standard, there was a couple. And that, like, that speaks to me as them trying to make it a better format for everybody.
Yeah, and if they're doing that, like, that... Miss Magius got banned not that long after it came out relative to ADP. It's worth noting.
Yeah.
Like, in the amount of time ADP has been out, they could have banned what they did with Miss Magius, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised why they haven't, I wonder why they haven't, because it's something they're willing to do.
They sold the battle box, that's why it sells cards.
That's fair, yeah, that's
fair. Right now they're not going to do anything that doesn't sell big box cards, because they need it, because no one's buying anything.
I guess kind of the reason why I asked that question is, there seems to be, like, some sort of, I don't know, like, simple situations to me that it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense why to add these things. Like, I believe there were, since ADP has been out, there have been, what, I think, three different ways
to play it?
get rid of steel weakness. To affect Zacian. There was the first one was, I think it was the metal frying pan.
Yep.
And then there was a card maybe it was a Pokemon or something like that. And then most recently there's the
coating metal energy.
Yes, yeah, coating metal energy. And to me, like, that just seemed absurd. Like, who's not going to put it in their ADPZ deck, you know?
I hear you a little bit, but in normal situations, absolutely, it just makes it stronger. But the only relevant fire type is Scentiscorch, basically, which can ramp up so much damage it doesn't care about weakness. So that's one thing. Reshizard can also do an absurd amount of damage and doesn't care about the weakness or anything like that. Makes it harder. Like, it makes it so Volcanion can't KO it, but...
Yeah.
Eh. It's just more on the, like... It's more salt in the wound of ADPZ being the best deck in format, hands down.
There's always going to be a best deck in format, too, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's as oppressive in the way that ADP is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, there's always going to be a deck that, like, checks other decks that make, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that... ADP, I think, is a unique case.
Yeah.
Because of how it changes the rules.
It changes how you play completely.
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys are good with it, let's move on to the core player survey.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. So this was a targeted survey, and it was unavailable to the public. There were some pretty exciting things in there. The potential for like an official booster draft format was really cool. An evolution format to kind of slow down the game and put some more limits on there. And my personal favorite, the expanded format reprint expansion set.
Praise the sun, yes.
How amazing is that? No longer
that needs to happen.
Would you have to, and just so we're clear, this is none of this is actually like, you know, written in stone or anything like that. They're just questions that the surveyors were asking. But is anyone as excited as I am for literally any of these to go into effect?
Yes. If I don't have to pay another $50 for computer search, thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's so exciting that they're coming out with, or that there's the potential for this expanded format reprint, because there are just so many great cards that are just completely, completely out of anybody's, or at least most people's, ability to pay for.
Yeah. And those that have them aren't letting them go, because they're going to use them, like me.
Exactly.
Especially because they don't ever change out when expanded cuts off. Like, it's just been black and white forward forever, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, the more and more sets get added and the longer time goes on, the harder it is to find that early stuff.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. As more and more people get into expanded, more and more people buy the pieces.
It becomes even harder, yeah. And that makes it a really big barrier to entry, because if you're going to be serious about playing, like, TCG tournaments, Expanded is part of that.
Yeah, it's a way to get points, and there's not as many people there, so your likelihood of doing well is higher if you have the skill. There might be 400 people instead of 1,400 people that you have to go through.
Yep, so, skill and money.
But the money barrier to entry with Expanded is for real sometimes, you know?
The thing is, it's all reselling. Pokemon doesn't get any dime of that money, so if
which
they
is all
this,
the more reason. That's a very good point.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all local game things and like TCG player online, whatever it is. I forget the URL. But yeah, if they do an official thing like that, that's a way for them to dip into this interest that's building for this. You know, again, asterisk when physical in-person events start again.
Yeah, and didn't they like not that long ago make like change expanded so that it like it was going to be in more tournaments? Wasn't that a thing that I remember happening? Like
a couple of years back, they started adding more expanded events to the tournament cycle. Yes.
Also, I would love to do an evolution or singleton format. I think singleton is a really fun thing.
I don't know those formats.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so I've played it more in other card games, but a singleton deck means that aside from energy in this case, every single card in your deck has to only have one copy of it in there.
Oh.
You can have no repeats.
Oh.
It's really fun because
it's kind of like Commander in Magic the Gathering.
I'm unfamiliar with that, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you have to run, like, well, you can run multiple energy, but, like, essentially, like, 60 cards that are different. You don't run these thick four lines. Like, it changes things. That's fun. I love it.
I'd love to see those online. That would be cool to just, like, tinker with.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's actually something that I didn't think about. It would be cool if, like, let's say they picked maybe one or two to actually implement into, like, you know, quote-unquote real tournaments. And then the rest, they could totally add to TCG Online.
Yeah.
Like, that would be fun.
It would be easier, too. You might actually get interest that way. I can't imagine a physical tournament would garnish that many people for an event like that, but online you could keep trying it, start it there so you build interest and skill, and then do it at in-person tournaments.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, like, see how much interest there is and then go off the numbers on which ones to add to in-person tournaments.
Suddenly unlimited one time breaks everything.
that would be a crazy format.
You could play four wannabe supporters a turn. Yeah. Stupid.
So, with this survey, does it start to feel like the player TPCI dialogue is, like this is the start of something? Or should we not hold our breath for another survey anytime soon?
Well, this survey wasn't even up to, like, the public. It was, like, limited invitation survey, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It was. However, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't remember anything like this really happening.
Nor I. And it was a lengthy survey. I was expecting it to be short. I got one, and I filled it out, but it was longer than I was expecting, and it asked a lot of good questions through it. I really hope that this continues, either another survey like this a year from now or something like that. And I will admit that a lot of my questions were skewed because of COVID. This was very much a physical in-person card event questionnaire, not really the online questionnaire.
Yeah.
So COVID really did skew a lot of my responses. So I would love to be able to answer honestly without that being a cloud over my head as I was answering these questions. So I hope it continues. I felt like part of the active community when I was actually filling this out, which I haven't felt with the card game really before. I felt like just a consumer.
Yeah, I've only ever gotten consumer vibes before. And so this felt like, even though I didn't write anything in the survey, I didn't get the survey, I wasn't targeted, but it felt like the start of something. And I understand why it's targeted, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, you would just be getting all this from, you know, who knows what people are going to be writing in that, like how many people are just going to be doing jokes and whatever, or, you know, bots to try and like change certain things, have a bigger influence. So I understand the targeted approach, but it does feel good to me. And I'm excited about the future of like better communication between player and TCPI.
Yeah. Did you get one, Sublime?
I haven't checked. I don't think so.
I'm wondering because
only ever done like TCGO for like my buying. Like I only buy codes.
Yeah, and like I said, this is very much physical.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if I got it because I went to that tournament last year. And that in-person in Nashville last year?
Whenever it was.
Regardless, somewhat recently. So I might have been on their radar because of that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah, I thought it was a good one. And it was, like I said, it was lengthy. It asked a lot of good questions about those formats and things like that. I'm just giving a little insight because I actually had to sit through it. And a whole lot of things on a Likert scale of like strongly disagree, strongly agree. Do you think we should ban things? In expanded, yes, and or no. In standard, yes or no. How strongly do you feel like they were very in-depth questions on like what your thoughts on any metagame that you play were. So, like, should we do a tournaments for in pre-release kits or things like that? There was a lot, and I really felt like they actually wanted my opinion. So it was very cool to fill out. But I'm kind of rambling now. Sorry about that.
All right, we can move on. Let's talk about how we think the format will change now that ADP is gone. Seth and Sublime, are there any decks that can run wild now that ADP is out of the mix? Or was there maybe something that ADP was holding in check that now is just like going to burst out on the scene?
I've got one that has been kind of one that I want to play and get good at and such. And I've seen it succeed in tournaments where, like, there was one tournament, the first time that some tournament banned ADP. This won the entire event, and it's gotten better, and people have refined it more since then, especially with current meta trends. It's Sandaconda with support from Colossal, the one that has Tar Generator that lets you plop a fire and a fighting from your discard to one of your Pokemon. And Sandaconda does 220 for 3 energy, discard 2 energy. So you can just recycle that 220 attack every single turn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it, and it's really good in a meta where Eternatus and Pikaram are relevant. And right now, Pikaram has seen just a massive resurgence. It does do it with Mewtwo, so this might be a little more difficult to do. But regular base Pikaram and all of its pieces are weak to Sandaconda, and obviously Eternatus is as well. And 220 is more than enough to bop that 320? 340? Whatever HP monster that Eternatus is. So I think Sandaconda is one that can really shine in a non-ADP format, especially because it's one-shot by Azacian. So if they get an Altered Creation off before you're able to Rare Candy up your Colossal, they can just take 2 Sandaconda and you're having a bad day. So it's really a race against time against ADP because they just need 2 turns. Like, straight up, they just need 2 turns, and you need 3 to knock out the Azacians. So I think that's one that could really, really shine in this format. It has before. which is why I'm kind of cheating by giving this as an answer, but I also just love the deck. So that's my thought. As well as just anything that runs one prize techs.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too. If you're running one prizes especially, you have, yeah. But, yeah, I don't think, obviously, Eternatus is no longer the top deck of the pack, but it's still competitive, and I think it does better without than with. Although I feel like a lot of decks do better without ADP there than with.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even if they have they're competitive with it, or even if they can win it, they're probably happy not to have to.
Yeah. Eternatus is particularly scared of ADP, because they love to drop Crobats on their bench.
Yeah, and you're filling up this bench with, like, itty-bitty things. Yeah, like, because you need so many bench slots occupied.
Yeah.
And they're running all them bosses orders. That's not a good matchup for you.
Yeah, ADP runs four. Like,
yeah,
no
like,
less.
Hello? Yeah, you go, yeah, so... I'm all for, they're, like, all the other decks that would be more viable. Just, even if, like, multiple new decks weren't introduced, having a greater, I guess, equilibrium between, like, how all the decks are performing would be nice. So I'm down for that.
I personally am excited for the return of anti-meta decks, because...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From my understanding with ADP, there was really no... anti-meta deck that could actually really focus on this.
Yeah. The only one I could think of is Desigoons with Decidueye and Obstagoon. That's the only thing I could think of. But even now, it doesn't matter because they have Aegislash to bop through them, so.
Yeah, exactly. Aegislash just, yeah. It was just like every time something came up, it was like, oh, but there's this card this set. That
now I can crunch through a Desigoons. Ha ha. So I'm with you there. That's really fun. Like, I like the anti-meta stuff. I'm kind of Sublime and I share this, where if the deck is popular, I don't want to play it, you know? Am I right?
Yeah.
Sublime?
I mean, like, what I do is I don't care what's most popular. I want to do the deck that I think looks the most fun and that is viable.
Yeah.
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 For
yeah.
me.
My favorite kind of decks are the ones where it's like I never even thought about that Pokemon. You know, yeah. I never even imagined that I would ever start to like this Pokemon that I never thought twice about. Like, that's one of the reasons why I love Vespiquen so much.
Yeah, that's a
oh
good
god,
point.
That's such a fun deck. I miss that deck. That was such a fun deck.
And then also, for instance, Mega Audino in the Night March, like all those years ago.
Oh, that was such a good worlds, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was an amazing, absurd anti-meta deck, and it was just like, Mega Audino? Really? Like, I had never seen that before. I didn't even know that was a card. And then there's this kid who wins the entire Worlds with Mega Audino.
Yeah, and he's one of the best players, like, in the world to this day.
I think it was
Shintaro Ito was the one who did that, and he's... Whenever he speaks about something that's trending, I listen to that. There's also things like Night March and Mad Party that are fun,
mm-hmm.
that are just don't necessarily go quick enough to face off against ADP. But
yeah.
I love Bunnelby being the lethal attacker.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
for
Joltik,
sure.
Joltik killing, like, a Yveltal, that was good. That was fun.
Right? And Mad Party's even worse now. It's so good. Oh. It's fun and expanded, too.
Yeah, no, honestly... Mad Party is going to be my next, like, big thing if they're able to throw ADP out, because that's just, oh my gosh. I don't even care.
Well,
I don't
even
care my win ratio.
Year, right? At worst, like, it should rotate
ADP will rotate at September unless they do something funky, which I don't think they will. But, yeah, it's slated to, we're slated to be Sword Shield on this September.
And Mad The March will still exist.
I mean, that's still like 6 months from now, or more.
And Mad Party won't be as good because they lose to Dedenne, so that's a thing. Yeah, but it still has a lot of potential, and even right now in an ADP format, it can go absolutely berserk one of the turns and start swinging for 200-something turn two. So I've done it. I've seen it happen. It's great.
All right. Anything else we want to share before we move on to the Venusaur best?
I'm ready. This will be fun.
All right. Let's do it.
Before you marches a Titan. Do not be ashamed of the fear inside you. Embrace it as you witness the Venusaur best.
Look, you guys, it's a Venusaur.
Okay, and here's the Venusaur best. Let's start with you, Sublime.
Okay, so since we've been talking a lot about the AVP, I wanted to discuss Arceus card, or Arceus. I don't know what your denominational pronunciation is.
Denominational pronunciation.
I feel like there's probably differences.
Well, let me tell you, sweetheart, I'm personally a Southern Arceus.
Well, up here in the north, we have Southern the Northern Arceus. You know, it's probably very bad.
Oh. Oh my god, I needed that.
But based on however you pronounce it, based on how you see the world, there's a card from the Shining Legends set called Shining Arceus, and you know, for a card called Shining Arceus, it's not that sparkly, you know? So Shining Arceus was a card back in the Shining Legends set, which most notably had Zoroark GX, so no one even cared about you, Arceus. People just wanted the Zoroark, because that was the Zoroark era. But it was like a basic with 130 HP and an ability, so you'd think, oh, well, maybe it's got something. It's colorless. And it had the ability Fabled Defense, which said as long as it was your active, it prevented all damage done to your benched Pokemon. And it only had one attack, called Ultimate Arrow, which cost 4 colorless energy. 4 colorless energy just to do 30 damage to all of your opponent's Pokemon. And, like, it looks like it is, like, this card that seems almost good because it's a basic with 130 and it's protecting your bench and it can do chip, like, it can target the opponent's bench. But, like, nothing about it, like, adds up to being enough that you would call it good. So, you know, it tried. It really tried. It's not, objectively, it's not a bad card. But that's why I feel like it's doing its Venusaur best, because it couldn't get past the Galar border, and it couldn't get into decks when it came out. You know, it's just really trying to proselytize itself, and it's trying its Venusaur best, I feel like.
So, Sublime, are you telling me that that's the only attack on this card?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so
it's a 4 energy cost to do 30 damage to everything on your opponent's side.
Two players put down Arceus, and what? They just stare at each other for the rest of the game?
They like, do 30 to each of the
take
Arceus.
30, yeah.
Oh,
not
okay,
if
so
one
the
of them
Arceus
was on a bench,
take...
but not if they're okay.
Arceus
on
only
the bench.
Protects the bench.
Yeah.
Okay, so because I thought the attack was only doing damage to the bench.
How fabulous no. would Arceus have been if it worked from the bench?
Right?
We've had bench supporters from the
it's
bench.
Like
yeah, so you're telling me that, what's a really bad, not popular Pokemon that got a bench effect? It's doing better than Arceus, your Venusaur best ain't
Tapu
enough.
Koko.
Yeah, there you go.
Tapu Koko in that era had the same kind of attack, 20 to everything, for DCE. And free retreat.
Yes. Oh god, I love that Tapu Koko. You get the one because it was a promo card, I believe.
Yes, it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah.
You get your copy, and you really only needed one copy because it had no retreat cost.
Yeah, it's better than this.
It is.
Tapu Koko is better than God.
All right, Seth, what's your pick?
All right, I wanted to go with Dialga, and this is something that I used on occasion, and I threw it in decks. It tried its Venusaur best. Sometimes it really did cool things. Sometimes it just didn't. I played Metagross a long time ago, and this Dialga GX put in some work. The first attack is Overclock. You draw cards until you have 6 in your hand, so if you were behind on turn 1, you could do that and draw some extra cards, try and find things. It had a Shred attack that a lot of dragons have, which just doesn't care about any effects on anything. So for instance, the Decidueye and Obstagoon would normally block this, but the Shred just goes through it. 80 damage, so it's nothing impressive. But, and I alluded to this earlier in the show, the GX attack was possibly one of the more fun things ever to play, especially when you had Guzma and Choice Band. Timeless GX did 150 damage, 180 if you have a Choice Band. And the effect is take another turn after this one. So, the play is you use Timeless GX on a Guzmud up Tapu Lele to knock it out, take two prizes, then you go again, and you switch Dialga out to whatever the big attacker on your bench is to take out the next thing they send up. So in quote-unquote one turn, you take four prizes.
That's awesome. I never played against this. Was it like oppressive at all, or was it more difficult to pull off, and that's why it was more accepted or whatever?
Because of that 5 energy GX cost,
mm-hmm.
not only was it very difficult to stack that many energies on when there was gusting in the format, but the second Dialga hits your bench, you announce exactly what you are doing to your opponent without saying anything. The second you drop it, like, more than turn one, it's like, oh, crap, they're going after my Lele with that. So if I see them put any more than one energy on it, I need to bop it. So in my entire time playing this as a one-of tech in my Metagross deck, I pulled this off once. That's it. But it was so worth it for that one time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so that leaves me with Palkia. This card is from the Call of Legends expansion. Palkia is the master of space. Space, people. The final frontier. A lot of its cards are great and have similar abilities or moves to this one. But this one, it seems to have just kind of smushed a few of these, like, abilities that switch around different Palkia cards together into one attack that costs way too much and gives no real benefit. So, here it is. Palkia, basic, 100 HP. It is a water-type Pokemon card. For 4 water energy, you can do Wormhole, which does 60 damage. Switch Palkia with one of your benched Pokemon, then your opponent switches the defending Pokemon with one of his or her benched Pokemon. Good job holding up your end of the bargain there, Palkia. At least the other two tried.
It's... I don't know. Dialga plays with time. You do your turn twice. That's playing with time.
I mean, yeah, he's playing with time, but he's not actually helping.
That's true. That's kind of a funky Palkia. Palkia has a lot of weird cards. We skimmed through a lot of them. There's a lot of weird Palkias.
Yeah, a lot of them deal with switching and stuff like that. But this one, it's like, why would I ever want it in my deck? Like, the only time that it would, like, be helpful is when I was in such a bad situation that I'm like, hey, I'm just going to switch this up. I want to do 60 damage right now, and for some reason I've decided to put 4 water energy on this. So I'm going to do 60 damage, maybe kill something if it's, like, super low on health or whatever, and then move it out of the way. Yeah, and then, like, hope that whatever they pull up there, I don't know, like, isn't going to take out whatever I put up in front. Like, I don't understand, like, why someone would choose to put this card in their deck.
Right. Palkia's had, like, of the bunch, Palkia, I think, is kind of the weaker one. Arceus did have its entire set to itself, where it had, like, some of each type, and that one broke the rule that you can only have 4 of one card of the same name, because you could put as many Arceus in your deck as you wanted. So, Arceus has had some fun. Dialga's had some fun. I feel like Palkia, of the three, has had the least fun overall. I don't know.
Yeah, out of the Venusaur best in this pick, Palkia is definitely the Venusaur worst.
Yeah, good way to put it.
All right, that's the end of the show. Seth, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
Sublime, it is always a pleasure, sir.
It's always a pleasure to mix business with pleasure with y'all.
All right. And thank you, Puckle Peeps. I hope to see you next time. And that's the end.
Time. Farewell, my friends. I'll catch you on the Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.